Welcome to the CISSP Cyber Training Podcast, where we provide you the training and tools you need to pass the CISSP exam the first time. Hi, my name is Sean Gerber, and I'm your host for this action-packed, informative podcast. Join me each week as I provide the information you need to pass the CISSP exam and grow your cybersecurity knowledge. All right, let's get started. Good morning, it's Sean Gerber with CISSP Cyber Training. Hope you all are having a blessed day today. Today is an amazing day. Yes, this is like day three or four in my overall new experience of working for myself. So yes, it is interesting. It is challenging. It's fun. It's also a bit scary, but it's all good. I'm excited about that. Working out of my house now. I'm an independent consultant for cybersecurity, and it's going to be fun. It will be interesting. So one thing we want to talk about today, we're going to be getting into domain 4.1.3, the security questions for that, because today is, guess what? Yes, domain question Thursday. And so we're going to go over some of the questions that are associated with this specific domain as it relates to what we had in the podcast on Monday. But before we do, wanted to quick go through just a little tidbit of news that I saw today. This is around the OT, or operational technology threat landscape, and this is as it relates to the critical infrastructure in the UK, the United Kingdom. The article talks about how it is probably one of the most attacked countries on the planet as it relates to OT. And a lot of that is due to a couple different reasons, but obviously the thing that's going on with Ukraine, and because the British have been so staunch supporter of the Ukrainians during this fight, they are probably one of the most targeted folks in there. One of the things that has come up as it relates to the UK, their National Cybersecurity Center, the NCSC, had reported that most of the companies up there had been hit with some level of malware, and it's been tying back to their OT supply chain. So most of these OT supply chains are folks that are supporting the energy and utilities aspects of their country, and so therefore you can tell the attackers are going after the supply chain in and of itself. So I see that as probably some of your weakest links, and we've talked about this on the podcast numerous times, where the supply chains, if I was a person that was attacking a target, the softest part of that target would be your supply chains, because in many cases they may not be as totally prepared for the attack as the critical infrastructure locations are right at this point. So one of the things that they mentioned in the article around some of the top targets within the UK were British Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell, Chevron, National Grid, Dax Group, and Energy One. Now, the interesting part on all this is when the Australian company Energy One was hit with a cyber attack last year, it impacted all the system, many of the systems in the UK. And so that is an interesting pact where if they hit one system that is tied around the global nature, the global community, it can impact, obviously, other groups within the overall ecosystem in the world. So these guys are not stupid. They're very smart, and they're actually using threat intelligence to help define where are their targets and they're going to go after. So it's kind of interesting to see how that plays out. Now, the article kind of gets into why is OT such a significant impact. A lot of it is due to the fact that much of the systems that are being run on OT environments are legacy and have been around for some time. And they have a hard time, and I've learned this myself working in this space, that you don't have the ability necessarily to update and manage these systems quickly. You're stuck in the position where you have old legacy systems that have been around since, in some cases, the 70s, that you have to update with new and current firmware. And without having the ability to do that, because for example, if you try to update these systems out of cycle, it can bring the systems down, which then can impact your overall company. If the manufacturing facility has to come down, you have to figure in outage windows and so forth. So it can be very challenging and problematic. So therefore, a lot of times these systems are not actually patched, or they're not patched in a routine basis, or maybe there's no patches even available for them. So it does require a lot of expertise to make sure that you are protecting them correctly. And one of the things that has come up in the past has been about the Purdue model. And that really comes into how do you segregate your OT environment from your IT, or your basically your business network. And that would be one of the recommendations that you would do, especially with these older, more antiquated systems. So again, bottom line is, as they talk about in this article, is just the fact that OT is a big factor. It's going to be a continued big factor within the globe. And the you can just anticipate that there'll be opportunities if you're in cybersecurity to work in the OT space if you haven't already done so. All right, so let's get into the CISSP questions for this week. Question one, what is the primary purpose of IPsec? A, to provide a routing protocol. B, to ensure secure web browsing. C, to secure IP communications by authenticating and encrypting the packet stream. D, to manage the IP address. Okay, so what is the primary purpose of IPsec? It's to secure IP communications by authenticating and encrypting the packet stream. Question two, which component of Kerberos is responsible for issuing ticket-granting tickets, TGTs? Again, which component of Kerberos is responsible for issuing ticket-granting tickets? A, authentication service. B, the service service, or the service server. C, the client. Or D, the ticketing-granting service. So which component of Kerberos is responsible for issuing ticket-granting tickets, TGTs? And the answer is A, authentication service. The authentication service is a component of Kerberos that authenticates a user and issues the TGT. Question three, SSH is known for which of the following features? A, providing wireless security. B, encrypting remote login sessions. C, compressing video data. Or D, routing network traffic. So SSH is known for which of the following features? And it would be B, encrypting the remote login sessions. SSH is primarily used for encrypting remote login sessions to ensure secure command execution and file transfers. We've done this, you do this numerous times, you just probably don't even realize it sometimes, but it's a great way for you doing especially file transfers. I've did this with my teaching my students. You help them as they do remote logins to their system for their editing their Python scripts, so to IoT devices. Question four, the Signal protocol is renowned for its use of what? Okay, the Signal protocol is renowned for its use of what? A, forward security or secrecy. B, quantum cryptography. C, symmetric key distribution. Or D, blockchain technology. Okay, Signal protocol is renowned for its use of A, forward security. Again, it uses forward security, so basically that past communications cannot be compromised even if the encryption keys are stolen in the future, right? And that's one of the things we're worried about. People are worried about with quantum is that the keys or the actual certificates could be compromised and cracked in the future. Question five, which protocol is commonly paired with L2TP to provide encryption? Which protocol is commonly paired with L2TP to provide encryption? A, TLS, B, SSH, C, SRTP, or D, IPsec. Again, which protocol is commonly paired with L2TP for encryption? And it is D, IPsec. Okay, L2TP does not provide encryption by itself, and it's commonly paired with IPsec to provide especially a secure VPN connection. Question six, SRTP is used to secure which type of communication? A, email, B, file transfers, C, real-time communications like VoIP, or D, web browsing. Again, SRTP is used to secure which type of communication? And the answer is C, real-time communications such as VoIP. SRTP is specifically designed to provide encryption, message authentication, and integrity for real-time communications such as VoIP. Question seven, ZRTP. You had SRTP and ZRTP. These are all these things you have to remember. ZRTP is unique because it is what? A, is a public key infrastructure or PKI. B, it generates ephemeral keys for each session. C, is based on symmetric key cryptography. Or D, it requires pre-shared keys. So question seven, ZRTP is unique because B, it generates ephemeral, I can't say that. It's a big $10 word and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Sorry. Ephemeral keys for each session. So again, each sessions will help protect against the man in the middle attacks without having to rely on specific PKI or certificate based encryption. Question eight, DTLS is designed for the use of which type of protocol? A, TCP, B, ICMP, C, ARP, or D, UDP. ARP is ARP, right? So if you didn't know. All right, so which DTLS is designed for which type of protocol? And the answer is D, UDP, right? So it's based on TLS, but it's adapted for its use with the UDP, which is a user datagram protocol where you have fast data transfers and short response times. Another thing around UDP, it's used a lot in video because of the fact that it has just barrage packets and therefore it can lose some packets. DTLS is based on TLS, but is used specifically for the UDP protocol. Question 9, which of the following statements about signal protocols is true? A, it employs a concept of trust on first use, or TOFU. B, it's a centralized server to store encryption keys. C, it's a primary use to secure email communications. Or D, it relies on server-side fan-out for message delivery. Okay, so which of the following statements is true, or is true about the signal protocol? And it is A. It employs a concept of trust on first use, or TOFU, for key verification. Okay, it's basically this way, is it introduces the trust before the communicating, it actually communicates between parties. So it's trust on first use. Question 10, what does S in this MIME, I'm sounding this out for you guys. What does S in S MIME stand for? Okay, oh my gosh, this is early morning. All right, A, secure, B, simple, C, standard, or D, symmetric. Okay, what does S in the S MIME stand for? Okay, so as we're dealing with security, one of the things, if you didn't know, you could just guess, but a guess would be secure, right? So it's secure multi-purpose internet mail extensions. That's what SMIME stands for, SMIME. And it's designed for secure email communications. So again, S stands for secure in secure MIME. Question 11, OpenVPN utilizes which technology to provide flexible and secure VPN solutions? Again, OpenVPN utilizes which technology to provide flexible and secure VPN solutions? A, Active Directory. B, proprietary software. C, hardware tokens. Or D, open source code or open source software. Yeah, it's a mouthful. Open source is the answer. It is D. OpenVPN is an open source VPN protocol, which means its open source product is freely available for people to use and modify as they see fit. Question 12, which protocol would you use to secure voice call over the internet? Okay, you have, again, we're talking VoIP over the internet. A, L2TP, B, SRTP, C, SSH, or D, ZRTP? Again, you're talking with the TPs, right? We talked about VoIP earlier. Which one is it? L2TP, SRTP, SSH, or ZRTP? And the answer is D. ZRTP is designed for securing voice over IP, VoIP calls, and with end-to-end encryption. That's the ultimate point of ZRTP. Question 13, TLS primarily secures which layer of the OSI model? Okay, so of the OSI burrito that we talk about, we're going to be talking about which one is that, which TLS primarily secures which layer of that OSI model. A, the application layer. B, the network layer. C, the transport layer. Or D, the data link layer. Okay, so if you're thinking about TLS, what does TLS deal with? TLS deals with transportation. So what would be that guess? The guess would be the transport layer. C, correct. TLS operates at the transport layer of the OSI model, and therefore it will provide secure communications between applications over the internet. Question 14, which feature of the signal protocol ensures that no third party can read the messages? Okay, we don't want anybody reading the messages, so what would that be, right? So what part of the signal protocol ensures no third party can read the messages? A, end-to-end encryption. B, tokenization. C, data masking. Or D, role-based access controls. Okay, so we're talking signal protocol, which featured in that would allow you to have encryption? And that would be end-to-end encryption, right? That would be the A. The signal protocol uses this end-to-end encryption, right? And it uses that in a proprietary means. That way you can only read and decrypt the messages as appropriate, right? That's one of the big things that's been coming out. I know, Apple got hit with something recently in their messages where they said that their encryption could be hacked. I think it's going to be an ongoing aspect because most people use some sort of signal app or they use Apple's iMessages to communicate. A lot of communication over text messages versus actually sending them through email. Email still widely used by all means, but it's a lot of communications are occurring over text. Question 15, the last melon, the final one. What is the main advantage of using DTLS over TLS for streaming media? Again, what is the main advantage of using DTLS over TLS for streaming media? A, DTLS supports multicast. B, DTLS has better error correction. C, DTLS is faster because it operates over UDP. And D, DTLS uses less bandwidth. Okay, so main advantage of DTLS over TLS for streaming media is C, DTLS is faster because it operates over UDP. Why? Because UDP utilizes that basically spraying of data and data packets versus having the actual TCP handshake. So again, that's the key piece around DTLS is faster for over TLS for streaming media because of that specific reason. Okay, that's all I've got for you today. I hope you guys have a wonderfully blessed day. And again, we'll see you next week. Head on over to CISSPCybertraining.com. You can get access to all my great stuff at CISSPCybertraining.com. It's available to you there, free of charge. All this stuff is a lot of it's there. My blueprint is available for you. The blueprint is amazing. The blueprint is what makes this thing work. It will help you pass the CISSP exam, no question about it, if you follow the blueprint. But all of these videos are there on my website, as well as the audios are available to you as well. The ultimate goal is to help you pass the CISSP, and I'm here to do that. And I help you do that in a fast and efficient way. All right, have a wonderful day, guys, and we will catch you on the flip side. See ya.
Thanks so much for listening today, as it was my pleasure to prep you for the CISSP exam. But are you interested in some free CISSP exam questions? Head on over to CISSPquestions.com and sign up to join my email list, and you will gain access to 30 free CISSP questions each and every month. That's a total of 360 questions just for signing up with CISSP Cyber Training. You will also gain access to other free resources, so just head on over to FreeCISSPquestions.com or CISSPCyberTraining.com and sign up today. All right, have a wonderful day, and we'll catch you on the flip side. See ya.